I stress that all of this is as American as apple pie. Has nothing to do with Marxism, nothing to do with Leninism, or any of the other scare words that are conceived by the, concocted by the contemporary commissars. And it's all completely down the tube, as the system has become more feudalistic in Dewey's sense, more fundamentally illiberal, and more opposed to the ideals of human freedom that were held, and indeed rightly held, by classical libertarians, those who we profess to honor, but in fact constantly kick in the face, and whose ideas are simply disappearing from sight. The doctrinal, as the system has itself become more feudalistic, absolutist, unaccountable, narrow, remote, secret, in essentially the classical liberal sense, running right up to Dewey and others of the time, as it's become narrower, the doctrinal system has also correspondingly become narrower. That's what universities are about, in fact, to narrow it and to exclude the thinking that, in fact, inspired classical liberalism and democratic action and thought. The fundamental libertarian principles, which, as I say, were even common coin among the general population, let alone libertarian thinkers, these now sound very exotic and extreme. I just gave you a sample of them. In fact, they're often called anti-American, an interesting term, actually, a term that can be used only in cultures with a really deep totalitarian strain. So, for example, in the Soviet Union, the worst crime was being anti-Soviet. And in the United States, people like professors at the University of Massachusetts publish books called The Anti-Americans, which people don't laugh about. You know, they're highly regarded, and you get sober reviews in the New York Times and so on and so forth. You might ask yourself as a sort of a thought experiment, what would happen if somebody, say in Italy, were to publish a book called The Anti-Italians, you know, and imagine, or Anti-Italianism, and or, you know, Anti-Norwegianism or something, and ask what the reaction would be on the streets of Milan or Oslo, or in fact any culture, any political culture that had not succumbed to totalitarian doctrine and still had a memory of what freedom and democracy were about. The very fact that we're able to use terms like that is quite striking, particularly if you consider our own history, of which I've just barely given a sample, but it's a real sample, not of major figures. Well, these are very important features of the deterioration of democracy in the current period, not only at the institutional level, but also in the doctrinal support for power that accompanies it. I ought to stress that this fear of democracy is a very old story and very deep-seated. Because the first modern democratic revolution was in England in the 17th century, and the popular democratic forces were bitterly condemned for seeking, as leading intellectuals of the day put it, for seeking to raise the rascal multitude against the men of best quality, and for making the people so curious and so arrogant that they will not submit to a civil rule. There was a civil war going on, as you learned in high school, between king and parliament. But what often isn't taught is that the rabble, the rascal multitude, were opposed to both sides in the civil war. Their pamphlets said that they did not want to be ruled by king or parliament. Rather, as they put it, by countrymen like ourselves that know our wants and know the people's sores. Incidentally, that same call was reiterated by rebellious farmers right here after the American Revolution, when they learned that they would continue to be ruled by the men of best quality, not by countrymen like themselves, as the revolutionary pamphlets had claimed. We're back to the distinction that Thomas Jefferson drew in 1826 that I quoted earlier. Actually, that's true of every social upheaval and revolution, at least to my knowledge. The official story is there are two sides fighting. The reality, quite typically, is that there are three sides. The two sides that are officially fighting one another for a share of the power, or all of it, and then the general population, which wants to be free of both of them, and quite often gets crushed. That, I think, if you look, is the real history of social upheaval and revolution, including the American Revolution, if you look closely.